माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधे जय राधा बन बिहारी राधा बन बिहारी राधे जय श्री गौरंगा श्री गौरंगा श्री गौरंगा जय श्री गौरंगा जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद
श्री श्री राधा वृंदावन बिहारी की श्री श्री राधा बन बिहारी जी की श्री श्री गौरांग महाप्रभु की श्रील प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो 29th चैप्टर Explanation of devotional service. Text number 27. Atha mam sarva bhuteshu. Atha mam sarva bhuteshu. भूतात्मानं कृतालयम् भूतात्मानं कृतालयम् अर्हयेद्दानमानाभ्याम् अर्हयेद्दानमानाभ्याम् मैत्र्याभिन्नेन चक्षुषा मैत्र्याभिन्नेन चक्षुषा अथ मां सर्वभूतेषु भूतात्मानं कृतालयम् अर्हयेद्दानमानाभ्याम् मैत्र्याभिन्नेन चक्षुषा उतमानं कृतालयम् अर्हेद्दानमानाभ्याम् मैत्रया भिन्नेन चक्षुषा अथमाम सर्वभूतेषु
भूतात्मानं कृतालयम्
भूतात्मानं कृतालयम्
अर्हये
दानमानाभ्याम् मैत्र्या भिन्नेन चक्षुषा अथ देयरफोर माम मी सर्वभूतेषु इन ऑल क्रीचर्स भूत आत्मानाम द सेल्फ इन ऑल बीइंग्स कृत आलयम अबाइडिंग अर्हयेत वन शुड प्रोपिशिएट दान मानाभ्याम थ्रू चैरिटी एंड रिस्पेक्ट मैत्रिया थ्रू फ्रेंडशिप अभिन्नेन इक्वल चक्षुषा बाय व्यूइंग ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद देयरफॉर थ्रू द चैरिटेबल गिफ्ट्स एंड अटेंशन एज वेल एज थ्रू फ्रेंडली बिहेवियर एंड बाय व्यूइंग देम ऑल टू बी अलाइक One should propitiate me who abide in all creatures as their very self. Purport. It should be not misunderstood that because the super soul is dwelling within the heart of a living entity, the individual soul has become equal to him. The equality of the super soul and the individual soul is misconceived by the impersonalist. Here it is distinctly mentioned that the individual soul should be recognized in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The method of worshipping the individual soul is described here as either giving charitable gifts or behaving in a friendly manner, free from any separatist outlook. The impersonalist sometimes accepts a poor individual as being Daridra Narayan, meaning that Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has become poor. This is a contradiction. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is in full of all opulences. He can agree to live with a pure soul or even with an animal, but this does not make him poor. There are two Sanskrit words here, man and dan. Man indicates superior and dan indicates one who gives charitable gifts for or is compassionate to other inferior beings. We cannot treat the Supreme Personality of Godhead as an inferior who is dependent on our charitable gifts. When we give charity, it is to a person who is inferior in his material or economic condition. Charity is not given to a rich man. Similarly, it is explicitly stated here that man, respect, is offered to a superior and charity is offered to an inferior. The living entities, according to different results of fruitive activities, may become rich or poor, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unchangeable. He is always full in six opulences. Treating the living entity equally does not mean treating him as one would treat Supreme Personality of Godhead. Compassion and friendliness does not necessitate falsely elevating someone to be exalted as much as Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should not at the same time misunderstand that the super soul situated in the heart of an animal like a hog and a super soul situated in the heart of a learned Brahman are different. The super soul in all living beings is the same supreme personality of Godhead. By his omnipotency, he can live everywhere, anywhere. He can create his Vaikuntha situation everywhere. This is his inconceivable potency. Therefore, when Narayan is living in the heart of a hog, he does not become a hog Narayan. He is always Narayan and is unaffected by the body of the hog. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I will also like to read the translations of the previous 2-3 verses. Lord Kapila is telling his mother, "My dear mother, one who offers me respect but is envious of the bodies of others and is therefore a separatist never attains peace of mind because of his inimical behavior towards other living entities. My dear mother, even if he worships with proper rituals and paraphernalia, a person who is ignorant of my presence in all living entities never pleases me by the worship of my deities in the temple. Performing his prescribed duties, one should worship the deity of Supreme Personality of Godhead until one realizes my presence in his own heart and in the hearts of other living entities as well. As the blazing fire of death, I cause great fear to those whoever makes at least, and sorry, as the blazing fire of death, I cause great fear to whoever makes the least discrimination between himself and other living entities because of differential outlook." Very heavy statements. So first of all, I want to offer my humble gratitude to all of you. Kapila Dev is doing Upadesh to his mother. And before we start our discussion on this verse, we should know that this particular chapters, which Prabhupada has written a special book on, called as Teachings of Kapila Dev. It's called Kapila Upakhyan in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Shukadev Goswami Maharaj, at each, not chapter, each Leela, which is consisting of many chapters, when he ends, then he gives a benediction called Phalashruti. Phalashruti, that means by hearing this Leela attentively, what will happen? Like if you read Gajendra Moksha, then in the end it is given that one who will hear this attentively, he will get good undisturbed sleep. And many more things are also there. I want to offer my pranams to Vishakha Mataji. Please bless me and give your kindness to me. Thank you so much. So, the Phalashruti, the benediction that Kapila Muni's Upakhyan, when you hear that, it is that Lord Vishnu will personally ride on Garudadev and come to pick up that soul who has heard this pastime attentively. In 4 different places in this description you will come across. Please be very attentive when this goes on. You will come across the benediction that in other places Lord Vishnu sends Garuda or some Vimana from Vaikuntha and four Vishnudutas will come and pick up. But one who hears this particular pastime attentively, he will not send four Vishnudutas. They may accompany him, but he will come personally to pick up that person and take him back to Godhead. So that is why this chapter has to be heard, read, and spoken with great love and attention and care. And basically describes very basic principles of devotional service. Like Kapila Dev is the son of Devahuti. Devahuti is his mother. But still Devahuti has the humility to sit down and make him sit on the Vyasasan and hear from him everything what is need to be heard. She also has served sufficiently and successfully her husband. And then Kapil Dev has taken birth. So many teaching, wonderful lessons are there in these pastimes. For just your information, when this particular description ended, Devahuti actually became a river called Kapila River. And this narration or this description or discussion took place in a place called Kapil Dhara, which is near Nasik. Very beautiful place. Where actually this discussion took place, and she became a river, and she went and joined Godavari at Kapila Godavari Tirtha at Tapovan in Nasik. So these things are there. They are not so-called, unquote-quote, mythological descriptions. They have taken place, and the places exist. That gives us faith, and if you go there, you can understand and perceive the purity and vibration of that place, which inspires us. So in this set of verses which Kapil Dev is describing, it is urging all of us to rise from Kanishta platform to Madhyam platform at least. Because in the Kanishta platform we know that we have faith in the deity of the Lord or the Lord himself who has come in the form of deity, and we worship the deity. But we do not respect the devotees so much. Or we do not respect other living entities so much. Or we see the Lord in the form of the deity or in the deity, but we do not see the same Lord in the fellow living beings. First, starting with the fellow devotees. Second, with those human beings who may not be following devotional path. And third thing, those who are non-human beings beyond that. And even Rupa Goswami, when he writes Upadeshamruta or Nectar of Devotion, lot of points are taken from here. So once we accept Krishna consciousness, in the beginning it is alright that we learn to develop faith in the Lord himself first, then start learning to see him in the deity. But we cannot remain in the first standard or first grade in the school constantly. We have to graduate from first grade to second grade and third grade and onwards, graduation. So it is extremely important aspect to worship the Lord with great love and devotion, with perfect paraphernalia, but also treat the fellow living beings very respectfully. Two, three points are mentioned here. One is charitable nature. Before that is mana. And then after is sakya. So man is first. Why man is first? Because unless we learn to see the presence of the same Supreme Lord with full glories, who is in the deity and who is in me and who is also in other living beings whom I meet. So our respect is not because he is rich or he is beautiful or he is highly educated. Our respect is because he is the part and parcel of Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord also resides along with him, within him, in his existence as material body or whatever body he has. So it takes great effort and cultivation to develop this consciousness. It is not automatic. We have to hear again and again. We have to meet devotees who behave respectfully to everybody else. And then after some time, these feelings can come. But sufficient to say that in the initial stage only, when we come to Krishna, who has brought us to Krishna? Some other living being has brought us to Krishna. Some other human being who is a devotee of Krishna, who has brought you to Krishna. So basically our respect should begin with that person who has introduced us to Krishna consciousness. Patha Pradarshak Guru, he is called as. Then naturally the Lord. Then naturally the people who give us guidance as Siksha Guru. And many other gurus are there, different types of gurus who inspire us, who give us instructions, who inspire us by their example, by their words, by their actions. And thus, when this group of people increase in number, naturally, various people come in our lives. In their company, we learn that every living entity has Supreme Lord within him. And Supreme Lord loves every living entity as he loves us also. Like the father loves all his children equally. Even if one child is crippled, one child is beautiful, another child is very educated, socially highly positioned, the mother and father do not discriminate between the children. They have equal love. And sometimes there is little more love to those who are deficient in the material sense. There is more compassion towards them. So this respect is an initial basic concept of bhakti. Amanena manadena kirtaniya sadhari. Even if we want to deliver ourselves by chanting continuously, by developing love for Godhead and going back to Godhead is a desire in us. The first thing is give respect to others. Along with that, do not expect any respect in return. In the material world, we are exactly opposite. We are very highly trained to have respect, get respect or expect respect from others, and generally not give respect to anybody else because we think we are so great. So what prevents us from giving respect to others is that feeling of pride that I have within me in those temporary things that I think I have, I possess. And devotional life actually teaches us the science to disregard the so-called material affluence or material qualification that we have and consider them as the mere mercy of the Lord. And be grateful for that, whatever He has given us. And still, being humble, respect others who may not be on the same platform or maybe on a lower platform than us in the material world. It takes great cultivation. That's why doing things in the devotional service is one thing and developing this consciousness within is another thing. And the spiritual life mainly consists of developing this consciousness within. How we do things and why we do things. Exactly what we do things are many. But those many good things that we do in Krishna consciousness, how we do is extremely important. What is our demeanor, what is our approach or attitude while we do those things is extremely important. So, when we actually become Amani, we really think whatever I have is belonging to Lord and my Gurudev. And all credit goes to my Guru and Krishna and the fellow devotees who have taught me. And actually you see glory in the others. In the beginning it may be mechanical, it may be acting enthusiastically, it may be acting as per the guidance, not maybe from within, but that will lead us to thinking from within, the way we want to think ultimately. And when that thinking comes, actually Krishna becomes very pleased with that person. And when he is pleased by his mercy, the real Krishna consciousness rises within the heart of a devotee. One may have so many qualifications which are very useful in Krishna consciousness, to serve Guru and Krishna, to serve the mission. But if those very good qualifications are tinged or contaminated by sense of pride, then those things do not let us serve the way we can actually serve 100%. We are hindered by that pride which comes and hinders every qualification of yours to be perfectly used in service to Krishna. You may think you are using them, but if when pride enters, it's like you get beautiful celestial kheer, sweet rice made of cows, of desi cows from Govardhan Eco Village, made by devotees with great love and devotion, with all dry fruits and condensed it enough so it becomes very tasty and succulent. And you are about to have it, but some breeze comes and some sand falls on that. It's the same beautiful kheer that you would like to relish. But at every spoon of that, you will come across that sand which is going to hit your teeth and disturb all the enjoyment that it is going to give you or you are expecting from it. Something like that happens when great qualifications are there in us and we want to serve Krishna with that, but pride comes as the sand particles. So that doesn't please Krishna at all. Because what we are thinking of us as great people with those things that we have are all gifts by Krishna. That we should understand. Maybe we have some karmas, but if we think proud, we get proud of the results of our karma and become arrogant in our behavior, then those things don't yield real results. The good qualifications that we have can actually give us tremendous power actually to advance in bhakti, to please Krishna and Guru, provided it is coupled up with humility, genuine humility with understanding that is all blessing of Guru and Krishna. And we give that credit to Guru and Krishna. If at all we are highly qualified, but there are many people who worked harder than us, many people who are more intelligent than us, but they could not get maybe admission in the higher education, and we got, and we continued, and we further ended, completed the education, and now we are in practice to use that education in service to Krishna. If all this is constantly accompanied by gratitude on the basis of humility, then that X amount of qualification which can give you 100% possibility of serving Krishna, it will become 200%, it will become 300%. The same qualification coupled with humility multiplies your capacity to serve Krishna. That's why the gratitude is extremely important. We may have so many wonderful qualities, or we may have so many disqualifications or unwanted things in us. But if there is gratitude and humility for whatever we have received, Krishna will burn all those anarthas, unwanted things, make them insignificant for the particular devotee. And if you have all good qualifications and there is pride, then there is no use at all. It doesn't attract Krishna at all. So ultimately your consciousness, our consciousness, and Sri Krishna and Guru are the most important figures in the game of devotional service. If we become humble and they become pleased, then they can do wonders, unbelievable, inconceivable wonders in our life. So that is why this principle of man has to be understood very nicely. That respect which we give devotees and the living beings and the human beings who are not so-called devotees actually expresses our respect for Krishna himself. If I come to your house and I glorify you and I don't respect your child, or I insult your child, or I displease your child by some means, then you do not care for the respect which I gave you. You will throw the gifts away from window, you know, away from window which I given you to please you, and you will come and question me, how dare you do this to my child. Another way round, if you caress the child, give the gift to child and please him and kiss him and hug him and really show your love and don't show so much respect to the parent who is the host in the house, the parent will not ask, why didn't you respect me? He's already satisfied that you respect or you have honored the thing, the person whom I love and adore the most. That's why it is said in America, if you love me, love my dog. If you pat the dog, the master is very happy. But he loves the dog. So our respect is based also on some selfish ground that I want to please the Lord, and the Lord is pleased when I respect his part and parcels. And then beginning with this, that I want to please him selfishly, later on we genuinely feel that my Lord whom I love is there in the heart of other living beings also. And when that respect comes and is there, then the real cooperation begins. And Prabhupada said, if you love me, you please cooperate with one another. This cooperation cannot exist if there is no respect for each other. If there is no appreciation for each other's position and situation in our life and in bhakti and in devotional service. So how things are linked and related? Just imagine. All that we want to achieve, actually it will be easily achieved if there is respect and humility. And all that we want to easily achieve will be hindered if there is pride and disrespect. While all the provisions to attain the perfection of life is there in you and us in both conditions. The basic substrate is there with you. But pride and disrespect, it is hindered and doesn't show as much result as it should be, or should be showing. And if humility and respect is there, it is not only get full 100% manifestation, but it is multiplied by the mercy of the Lord. Then naturally, when there is genuine respect for devotees, the friendliness comes. Rupa Goswami is mentioning again and again in his scriptures that we have to become friendly with devotees. And devotees should feel friendly to us. It's not one way, it's both ways also. They should also genuinely feel that I love this person as my friend. Because when you have a friend who is on the path of Krishna, our journey is hastened. Like we chant in the temple, today morning we were chanting in temple and you chant in your room. There's a great difference. Why? Because the people who are sincerely attempting to chant are chanting together in the temple room and their collective energy of effort and sincerity supports you. And you become very sincerely supportive, constructive in your chanting. But the same energy is not there when you are chanting alone. There you are dealing only with your aura. When we are in temple, we are dealing and benefit from everybody's collective aura. Whatever little more is there, but everything collectively comes to you. And you feel great energy within you. If 100 people are chanting together and you are one of them, all 99 people benefit is with you. And if the another person who is chanting, he also gets 99. So everybody gets 99 people's benefit, for example. That is why we have to become very friendly with devotees. Even it is said, we have heard in the early Krishna conscious days, that one should not even sleep alone. We should have fellow devotee, not sleep alone in the room. Because in the middle of the night, something happens, you wake up, Maya is at full swing on you. If something you do or something you think or something haunts you in the night, the devotee is next to you sleeping, fast asleep, snoring. Still his presence will prevent you from doing wrong things. Or you are traveling alone in the train and you feel, oh, this is my free private time. Now I can maybe eat something with onions and garlic at one station. Or maybe eat chocolate and nobody is around. Or something. Or I may look at beautiful women. Or something which is very attractive and beautiful, which I should not be seeing otherwise. But even if you know that one devotee is in the bogey, in the coach, at 67th berth, and you are on 13, very far from you, but if you are aware that he is there at 67 number berth, then you still prevent yourself. Is this not true? All of us have gone through that situation. So presence of devotee in the life, physically close, little distant, and awareness of devotee's presence in life actually prevents us from doing wrong things. Your guru may not be with you all the time, but if you think of committing a sinful activity, immediately think what my guru will think. What my guru will have to undergo. I will do something and he will have to suffer the reaction of that. Because I am his disciple. He has accepted me as his disciple. So I am having an urge in me to do something. Really, I just want to do it. Because I am restricting myself for so many years now. Let me just do it. The friends are telling me, "Are 25 years you have given up tea. Today you can drink tea and take one peg in the party also because we are having a school gathering. 25 years after we are meeting, 35 years you are following this. So today if you take one peg of alcohol, it's all right. It is not going to nullify your all the sadhana that you have done." This is what happens in the college gatherings, you know. They tell all the devotees, "Are enough. Today you can at least be with us the way we are together." But immediately thought of the devotees come in mind. What my fellow devotees will think. What my Guru Maharaj will think. What it will be causing to my spiritual life. And it prevents us. So this friendship is extremely important. And later on, when you first learn to develop friendship with the fellow devotees, effortfully one should do that. To develop friendship and love, bond of love between devotees. should really actually love devotees, because they are the ones who are our saviors. Their presence in our life actually saves us. We are prone to fall down at each and every moment in life. That's why we call as fallible souls. There's no moment in our life where we cannot fall down. Potentially we can fall down. But the presence of devotees saves us. That's why that effort of friendship is important, and then once that effort of developing friendship with devotees is complete, we develop friendship with other living beings who are not so devoted. Out of our love and understanding of Krishna consciousness, then that love extends in the life of pure devotee to the living entities who are not human beings also. Because of the consciousness that everybody is a Surudha. Lord is Surudha, that means friend of all. And because of his being Surudha and present in my heart, other living beings who have him in the heart also become my Surudha, whom I love, whom I naturally feel love. And then at the other stage, Jiva Daya comes, that is compassion. And this compassion is because we understand that I have been saved from such suffering by fellow devotees. And what kind of saving is that? I have been saved from such dangerous situations which appeared normal to me before coming to Krishna consciousness, like drinking wine or womanizing or gambling. It's so natural and so normal. Having sex in the student life, in the college and school life now, it looks so normal. But now it is like a very dangerous feeling that, oh, good, I was saved in my school and college days. Good, I didn't do all these things, although the opportunity was available. Now there is a fear. The same smell of fish and non-vegetarian food used to enlighten us that time. And now it gives us vomiting sensation. This transformation has taken place because of devotees. And then we feel, oh, I have been saved from these things, but these people are still into all those things. So after compassion, you tell them, please give up. It is not going to help you. It is going to drown you in the ocean of suffering in the future, in this very lifetime and in the future lifetimes. Genuinely, you feel that my friend who is my classmate, I must tell him. He may be rejecting me, what I am telling, but I should still tell him. Because I love him as my school friend. I have spent good time with him in the school and have spent time in his family at home also. Played with him in the garden so many times. So now I feel I have accepted and got benefited with this kind of lifestyle. My friend should also get. So this kind of natural feelings of compassion because of friendship, because of respect and love, it comes. And that is also a very important milestone in the life of a progressive devotee. And later on, this compassion becomes a lifestyle of a devotee. But again, it is explained by Prabhupada in purport that compassion naturally is to people who are higher, that from higher to lower people. And you give charity, also is mentioned over here. You give charity to people who are, you think, poorer than you or having lesser privileges than you. But there is some subtle sense of pride in that, oh, I have a surgical skill and he has a cataract. So I am going to operate him and give him vision. Poor fellow who could not see, now we'll see. So in the beginning of our eye camp in Barsana, in the early first camp, before the camp also, it was told that none of you eye surgeons are going to treat people in this way. That I have education and skill and they are poor and underprivileged people. So I am going to do a big upkar on them. Upkar means what you call? Favor to them. Great benediction I am going to give them of vision. And I remain more and more, I become more and more great as more and more people are operated and they come and thank me and bless me. I feel I am so great. I can actually help these poor people. But in Krishna consciousness we are taught that we don't treat them in the mood of being great, but we treat them in the mood of a beggar. I need to serve them to advance in my Krishna consciousness. They are people who are offering service to me, keeping me engaged in service to Krishna in that sense, because our whole project is Krishna consciousness. So we serve them in gratitude. that thank you mother, thank you father, whoever come. That's why we were told that don't see the people who are in Vrindavan and Barsana as patients, who are poor financially, who are not so cultured, who are not so rich, who are not so educated. Treat them as Krishna's and Radharani's choicest children who have kept them under their lotus feet in the holy land of Vrindavan and Barsana. And treat them also as your mother and father rather than patients. And then in that way you receive them and serve them, and when they bless you, you thank them for the opportunity that you have given us to serve you. It was my need to give you vision more than your need to have vision. Then that pride automatically goes away. Then that feeling of sacrifice that I have done for you, see, I have left my practice in Mumbai. It could have given me lakhs of rupees, hundreds of thousands of rupees per day, or in that 15 days, my half the year monthly income I have sacrificed. I have come with my cost by train and I am using my time and energy. So much I am doing. All that feeling goes away if you come in the mood that I need to do it. And then after you do that service, that expectation doesn't come. I did this service but the blessing did not come. The chas which they would bring have not been brought today. And the sweets that they get me from the Sriji Mandir has not come today. And the Mahavastra which last year came did not come this year. I think they are not appreciating my sacrifice that I am doing. All this thought process will end because you feel you need to do it. As soon as you create that sacrifice kind of feeling into a need feeling of your own, then all the consequences which are complications for devotional life doesn't occur in you. So we are constantly told again and again and again that go to Barsana in the mood of a beggar, as a mood of Yachak. Yachak means who begs for support. And we beg their support through our service. Because we know when they bless, Krishna will be pleased and Radharani will bless us. So here also, when we do our service here, it is not okay. I am an IIT graduate or I am a medical graduate. I am an IT graduate. I could have been earning, you know, millions of rupees per year in outside industry. But I have given up all that and I am serving here. But they don't seem to respect me as much as I am supposed to be respecting, getting respected. Now I have come from that lucrative profession on my choice, as my need to join the temple. Change the background of thinking. I have come for my need. I want to become a devotee, develop love for Godhead and go back to Godhead. It is my need, and this is the means of developing Godhead, love for Godhead, by practical devotional service, by joining this place, or being connected to this place, or by doing this service on a weekly or regular basis. Then that expectation of respect and honor and high seat and a garland will not be there. Because you are doing it for your need. You are satisfying your inner need. So once this change of consciousness takes place, everything becomes very easy actually. There's no complication. Oh, I went there and yesterday he bowed down to me, today he did not bow down to me. Yesterday he wished me and offered garland to me, and today he did not do that. Because I'm not here to get all those things. I didn't come here basically to become senior devotee to get all those things. I've come here basically to develop Krishna consciousness, to do some service to Krishna and to fellow devotees. And if that is fulfilled, I should be happy. So that's why when we do so-called compassionate activities, that very fact that it is a compassionate activity should not contaminate you. Okay, I am doing a compassionate activity. It should be out of your own need. That I need to give Krishna consciousness to this person. That is my need. I need to continue giving association to people as my need. It is my need more than their need. I have come to do service here. It is more than the project need, is my need. I need to be engaged in service. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that in my mission, every village, every town, there will be a holy name. It is already declared. Result already is declared. Now what are we doing here? We can go and enjoy our life. It's going to happen anyways. No, it is my need to be connected to this movement so that I can get purified and develop love of Godhead just by doing my part in this movement. and Krishna has given me some set of skills, so I am using them. It is my need more than anybody else's need. If that mood is there, I think that desire to honor and respect and desire to be adored by others will be automatically gone. So whenever there is inner conflict of a sacrifice, I am doing great favor to others, I'm doing philanthropic, compassionate activities, and I'm not getting enough reward from the fellow community, living beings, that inner conflict will be finished immediately. Whenever you reconcile that sacrifice kind of thought process into a need kind of thought process, is my need, things become very straight afterwards. So this particular shloka also Prabhupada explains about one point which I would like to talk, is God doesn't become hog Narayan because he's in the hog's body. Very nice point. We don't think like this actually. But the acharyas know how people are going to think in future. That's why they clarify before only. And I'm not going to go and hug the hog because I have now understood that he's same Narayan that is in me. External behavior may be accordingly as per situations, but the internal feeling of appreciation doesn't change. But here people are thinking, as per Prabhupada's statement, is that they think only that the Lord in the hog is different than Lord in me. So I can hug at least my fellow living beings, but not the hog, because he has hog Narayan in him. This takes us to a deeper level of understanding that how each and every living being is a part and parcel of Lord, is one part, and how that same Lord which is within me, with fullest of His glories, is in the insignificant, most insignificant creature also. That can create actually the feelings of Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. How a sadhu, a uttam adhikari, pure devotee feels the whole world as his family. That can come from this kind of basic understanding. That I don't have to be so proud, because the same Lord who is there in me is in the mosquito also. So the same Lord is there in the worm in the stool also, as Paramatma. So this is how, when in the basic platform our devotional life is carried on this kind of understanding, then actually it becomes lot easy to progress faster in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, each and every step we take is contaminated by pride and disrespectful attitude and expectations and honor. Then every step that can be potentially making you jump and leaps and bounds will make you crawl in Krishna consciousness. Although everything is available to you, all facilities, all kinds of things that you need to have to progress in Krishna consciousness, everything is there, but still we appear to be crawling in Krishna consciousness. And we may do great services in life, great noticeable and laudable, appreciable services, and people are just glorifying us. But if within there is a tendency of expecting rewards and expecting respect from others, and rewards and benedictions for whatever we have done, then still we remain glorious in the eyes of people, but from Krishna's point of view we remain still neophytes. The whole journey is not to impress others. The whole journey is to convince Krishna that I am now ready to come to you. He has to ultimately get convinced that this devotee is ready and qualified to come to me. Then only he will take us. Otherwise, who else can take us? So even if others don't appreciate us so much, if our Guru knows that we are doing whatever he has told us and is happy, that means Krishna is happy, and we should be happy with that. May not be the whole world may not be able to respect you. And by the way, even if we are on the top of the world as known as devotee, still there will be enemies that you have who keep on bothering you and harassing you and disrespecting you and are envious of you. So there is no situation here where absolute respect will be available to you. The world is not designed like that. So why to waste our time doing all those things, expecting all those things? Better to remain simple, humble and respectful to others. Tunadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So Prabhupada, in the times when he was working in Bengal Chemical, he was not even known as a devotee. I mean, he was a devotee, but not even a leader or a preacher, or he was just a common householder. At that time he told somebody that I have a formula by which I can change the face of the world. So that person thought that he has got some medicinal formula. He is going to create some syrup or some tablet which will create a revolution and miraculous revolution in the health industry. So he is very eager to tell me. So he said, Trinadapi Sunishena Taroriva Sahishtuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniyahara Sadahari. If this verse is even attempted to practice at a minutest level, we cannot claim. It is a very, very elevated stage, like Haridas Thakur. But even if we attempt, it is glorious. And if we attempt, it will please Guru and Krishna and make us progress very fast. Even if Krishna is seeing that we are attempting to be respectful to others, to be friendly with others, and to serve others as much as possible, even if we are attempting to do that, then Krishna knows. And that attempt is very pleasing to Krishna. So let us all help each other. Now I am sitting here and talking, it doesn't mean that I am following all these things. I need help from fellow devotees to remind me, to help me. Maybe when I am sleeping, to wake me up when I am sleeping during chanting. By the way, we are supposed to even go to a stage of chanting while we are sleeping also. But today we are, at the time of chanting we are sleeping. So we need help from people to wake us up and to cheer us up, you know, and then give energy to us. So all time we are dependent. Whether we are in the most advanced stage or a neophyte stage, all stages in the material world are dependent on others. And we have to be acknowledging that and be grateful for that. And that's how we can live our life very happy. Very happily. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So if there are any comments, any guidelines, most welcome, please. Yes, give microphone to him. Okay, you can ask, I'll repeat your question. How can we practice? What practice can be adopted to see Krishna in every living being? Is that right? How can we practically see? We can practically see that first through the eyes of scriptures. By hearing from scriptures, that scriptures are telling us that yes, the same living entity, the same living Lord is in the every living entity. We have to keep on hearing regularly. It's not that I heard when I came in Krishna consciousness. And today I don't need to hear it. We need to be reminded regularly and regularly hearing from scriptures. The same old thing. I am not this body, I am spirit soul and the Lord is in me and Lord is in everybody. Okay. Second thing, we have to be with the devotees who are already on the platform of seeing everybody having the Lord in them. That is extremely important. Theory is one thing. We can go on hearing and go on forgetting. But an example who is living next to you is very, very helpful. There was already scriptures, but Srila Prabhupada's presence actually taught them what he was trying to tell them. His behavior and existence actually helped them to understand how that can be done. If I have to see others as much as me, having Krishna in them, Prabhupada actually exemplified in his behavior by dealing with the other living entities, how he dealt with them. And then we get that insight how to do it. Like one sadhu one time saw one deer, you know, being hit by a fast moving truck in America, in Florida, on the way to airport on highway, and the deer flew and fell on the other side of the road. And the sadhu was traveling to the airport just behind the full speed also, but when he saw the flying parabolic trajectory of the deer, he asked the vehicle to be stopped. He ran out of the vehicle, took the deer in his lap and asked the devotee, any prasad is there, any charanamruta, any water? Mahamagad said, Maharaj, we just finished our breakfast because we are already late to airport, so we thought we should finish our breakfast, so we finished everything. There's some water is remaining. Morning offering water is there. He said, bring quickly. So the deer is in hand. His mouth, his eyes are towards that sadhu, and he fed the Charanamruta to the deer and chanted Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And the deer left his body in the arms of the sadhu. And then with great feelings of affection, love and prayers, he was laid down and sadhu went to the airport. So I was not there physically. But even when I heard this, it gave me so much inspiration that we do this all for devotees who leave their bodies in our hospice and everywhere. Because we feel devotees need that. And then we do for people who are not devotees also. But we just do it for human beings. But we don't seem to be doing it for animals or birds. And one time such service was done by our Barsana team to a Bharadwaj bird. Again was hit by a vehicle on the highway and was dying. And that a Bharadwaj bird was picked up by devotees, brought to the Barsana hospital. And whole day Prabhupada's kirtan was kept next to him. And Charanamrut water was given to him. Some grains were given to him by offering to Krishna. And the whole day that Bharadwaj bird remained in the vehicle, hearing Prabhupada's kirtan, and in the evening left body. And he was buried with great love and devotees did kirtan for him. So when you have such examples, no, it helps you easily to practice, you know. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu, what is your question?
At the time of respect, most of the time, intelligence, qualifications
come in between.
And this type of activities are barriers to respect
others.
And some persons are Sudra, Kshatriya.
So what is the question?
So my question is how to remove this thing in Krishna consciousness.
You
see all the living entities with the same eyes.
His question is that when we hear Trunadapi Sunichena, and when we want to respect, but then at that time, when time of respect giving comes, my intelligence, my qualifications, so and so many factors come in and disturb me and not allow me to do that humility, respectfulness. How to do that? Again, the same thing, same answer that I gave for this question, same answer for this question also. We need to hear it again and again, again and again, again and again. What is the most important thing in life? If it is to be understood as important, then we have to keep speaking and keep hearing about it again and again. That's why we sometimes stress that point in the talk to make it clear that this is extremely important. Right? That's why we have to keep on hearing it regularly. And also, please be with people who are very respectful to others, who are very loving to others, who are very appreciative to others, who value the company of others. Please find that company and be with them. So you will get that same inspiration from them to do the same things what they are doing. That's why we try to be with Gurudev, try to see Prabhupada's film, try to hear Prabhupada's compassionate activities, so that we also feel that we are not Prabhupada or we are not Guru, but we can at least attempt to do in a minute way what they were doing and they have been doing actually. I don't feel any other answer is there in my mind right now. The same thing I will say. Find out company who of devotees who are doing already all those things. Seek their association. Ask question to them. Listen to them. And follow them what they are doing. This is a common problem for everybody. Those who speak and those who hear. Common problem of intelligence coming in between and discriminating. Why should I give respect to him? I am so many years devotee, he is just now become devotee. I am so highly qualified, he is disqualified. I am so handsome, he is not. I am a temple commander, I am in charge of this and he is nothing. So many things are justifications come. But on the spiritual platform we understand that all these things are temporary and Krishna only considers all those devotional things only when he has to consider you or me as a person for giving some benediction. You cannot stand in front of even Yamaraj also saying that I am a doctor. Who cares? You know, Yamaraj will say, who cares? Or I was the richest man on earth. I was the topmost, my name was first in Forbes list. He will say, who cares? I was influential, I had so much following. He said, who cares? But I was a devotee of Krishna, then Yamaraj will, Yamdut will run away. You say Hare Krishna, then he will not even see it also in your vision. So what does that mean? Krishna is on a different platform. Even Yamadutas who are trying to catch you and punish you will not consider these material qualifications and the intellectual justifications. So what to speak of, you know, imagine a situation like that. Why have to be so proud about things? These are not important for the final examination, where your examiners are going to sit and judge you. They will not mean anything at that moment of time as preparation of your exam. So better to prepare for the exam, final exam, rather than in the worldly exams. Any other comment or question? Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Ho.